Brother Rick and Sister Kathy. What a blessing that was. Always good to have our preacher boys home. Every time I see one of them come back in from their churches, the Lord nudges me a little bit and says, we're going to get them all together. One's been called a preacher in the last 22 years. And I said, tell me how to do it. Some's in Alaska. Some's here, some's there. And I don't know how to do that. In fact, anything I've ever started on my own has never come out too good. But when he tells me how to do it and when to do it, then we'll get all the preacher boys home that's out pastoring right now and their families, and we'll do it his way. We're happy tonight to have another one of ours tonight with us, Brother Darren. I guess he might have been the first one to call after I started pastoring here. And it didn't last long around here. Somebody found out about him, just tucked him. And that's okay. That's what it's all about. God's the one sins. Remember, God told the church of Antioch, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. I've got to work for them to do. And look what a great blessing that was even to you and I, because they listened to the Macedonian call. Darren can preach to us, pastor of Bethel Baptist Church, Spruce Pine. Honored to have him with us. Wasn't that good last night? Amen, amen. And welcome all the people that's watching by way of internet. We appreciate you tuning in. We're working to try to get a little bit better every time, a little bit louder maybe. When Sandra and I are out and we're not here, we're watching it. Some of the difficulty we have, it's not loud enough. I don't hear good, but she does. And she hears everything I even think sometimes. But know how that goes, guys. We appreciate you being here tonight. And most of all, the precious Holy Ghost feeding us through the manna of God's Word. Darren, precious, my brother.
Amen. We are thankful to be back tonight at Fletcher First Baptist Church, home to me. I appreciate the opportunity to stand and share God's Word this evening. One of the hardest things I ever did was when God called us to leave this place. It was one of the hardest things I ever did was leave. But the easiest thing I ever did was go. Preacher, I don't understand that, because I knew it was the will of God. And one day I wonder, when death comes, it'll be hard to leave loved ones and people that we love so dear, but it's going to be easy to go because I know where I'm going. Amen. I'm going to a place called heaven. I hope to see you there. I've often said to our associate pastors, in case of the rapture, I won't be here that next Sunday, and you boys will have to figure it out. So, amen. The book of Judges continues to work on my heart. And it's unusual because oftentimes when we go preach revival, we don't necessarily look at a series of thoughts together. But I cannot get away from it. I actually have some notes I brought in my Bible as a backup plan, praying God would allow me to change this. I even said, Lord, if this is your will, you let somebody testify before we preach tonight. And two people stood up and testified. I believe that God's saying, go ahead and do it. Don't be faint-hearted. He had me read out of Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 4. Said, look at that verse. And he said, don't be faint-hearted. Don't be faint-hearted. So tonight we're going to preach out of the book of Judges chapter 3 with the help of the Lord. As I was driving here tonight, I got another confirmation. I had been in northern end of Mitchell County, way up next to the Tennessee line, and there was a huge black snake was working his way across the road. At least it looked like a black snake to me. Now, there's a couple of kind of snakes I don't like, live ones and dead ones, and that's about it. But I ran over him. Felt like one of them traffic counters. In fact, it was thicker than one of them traffic counters. And up in that area, there's not a whole lot of people on the road, so I stopped after I ran over him. And I backed up. And I ran over him again. And then I put it in drive and I ran over him again. And I put it in reverse and I backed over him again. Then I put it in drive and I hit him again. And I slammed on the brakes and I rolled him. I could feel him rolling. Then I backed up as best I could and I stomped the gas. Woo! And I throwed him to pieces. I feel like that's what God wants us to do tonight. Sunday night you ran over it. Backed up. Hit it again. Back up. Hit it again. It's what we're going to do. Preacher, I'm tired of this same old thought. How do you think I feel? I want to swing from the chandeliers tonight. That choir was fantastic. Glory to God, these special songs. Hallelujah. Good. But I appreciate you being back. It means a lot to me. Encourages me that you're back tonight. Because I'll be honest, these verses through the book of Judges have been very tough. Can I get amen? These are tough verses to swallow, but I believe the book of Judges best identifies where we are in America, where we are in our homes, where we are in our individual lives, and where we are in our churches. Oftentimes you see a pattern of disobedience to Israel. And we are spiritual Israel. We are an holy nation, according to the New Testament. Oftentimes you would see Israel get in rebellion. And then you would see God as He began to pour down His judgment, His retribution, His chastising hand upon them. Israel would repent, and God would restore them. But before long, they'd go back into rebellion. We see that pattern again tonight in the book of Judges chapter 3. Now I want to go on record and say this before I preach. I love the United States of America. It's one of the greatest nations on God's green earth. You may say, preacher, it's the greatest. No, I love the nation of Israel too. Those are God's. I said I love the nation of Israel too. God's chosen people. Okay? They just recently said, some of their leadership, for the first time, we feel alone in the world. But they're not alone. I have somebody with me. Amen? His name is God Almighty. He favors them. Okay? Judges chapter 3, I'll ask you to stand to your feet. I want to begin reading in verse 5. Judges follows the book of Joshua. In Joshua, you see great conquest. Victory after victory. You come to Judges, there's a huge change. You begin to see defeatism. You begin to see failure. I believe Judges is a story of how Israel was once a glorious nation and how she forfeited or fumbled the glory that she once had. Verse 5. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Chushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Chushan-Rishathaim, and the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. We have studied the gradual compromise of Israel. We have studied what happens when our values begin to vanish. Tonight, I think the Lord would have us think on this thought. A nation in disobedience. Father, we beg you tonight for the power of God. Oh, this choir singing about Jesus blessed us to pieces. Oh, I love to hear the songs of Zion lifting up the name of Jesus. Father, I ask your blessing now upon your people. Open your word to our hearts. Prepare our hearts. Help the seed of the word of God to find a fertile lodging spot in our soul that it might grow up and render fruit for your glory. Father, I pray now you'd help us to preach. Lord, we prayed, we've studied, but God, nothing will happen. Now the Holy Ghost helps us tonight. I want to honor Jesus. I want to lift him high. God, enable us to do so, I pray. God, I pray for the hearers tonight of the word, that God, there would not be tonight, not tonight, a famine for the hearing of the word. Open our ears, Lord. Let us hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Feed us, Lord. We're hungry. Help us, God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated tonight. Number one, this pattern that we speak of, first of all, begins with the rebellion of Israel. We remember in Joshua chapter 2, where the Bible said that after Joshua died and that generation that served God alongside him and the generation after, they was a generation that rose up that knew not the Lord, and they began to depart from the things of God. They were told, they were commanded by God to drive away the Canaanites. In fact, I looked in Exodus chapter 23. He said, I'll send my angel, capital A, which means it's the pre-incarnate Christ, who will go before you and will help you to drive away the Canaanites from the land. But we know what happened. Israel got fear in their heart. They begin to favor and fellowship with sin, and now they become disobedient. It is a day then of no authority, no one to learn from, no one to look to, no one to give any direction, and it's a day of no absolutes. We have clearly defined that this week for sure. I want us to look then, there are four areas of rebellion of Israel in these verses. First of all, in verse 5, the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites. There is an interaction. They dwelt among the heathen and they interacted with them. They fellowshiped with them. Why are they rebelling? Well, it's complete disobedience to the Lord. The Canaanites were heathen, immoral, sexually perverted people who practiced sinful lifestyles and worshiped false gods, and they supported immoral views. And God said, drive them out. Push them back. It needs to be done in our churches. We need to drive sin back. We need to love the sinner, but stand against the sin. But we have this notion now that as we love the sinner, we also embrace their sin. Come as you are, and we'll fellowship with you, and we'll get along together. No! God says, first, let's get them saved, amen. Let the Lord clean up their lives. Amen? So they were disobedient. He said in chapter number 2, in verse number 2, you're to make no league with the inhabitants of this land. But they made agreements, and they made laws that supported sinful living. They begin to worship false gods. And now, hear me, they are disobedient to the Lord. For he said in 2, verse 2, you have not obeyed my voice. They're disobedient. One is America. disobedient to the commands of God. Yes, they were dishonoring to God. They were removing God's word. I believe as they began to serve these false gods, they were taking the Ten Commandments and putting them in the closet, so to speak. Have no other gods before you. Let's take them out of our school. Let's get them off the courthouse walls. We don't want them around anymore. They've removed His name. They've become unthankful for His blessings. Let's legalize the murder of unborn and we'll just call it abortion. Let's support the lottery system, which is gambling, but let's just make it. We've closed our eyes to the sinful results of alcohol trying to produce revenue. We've made laws that now allow men to marry men and women to marry women. And we call evil good and good evil. We're making laws now where men can go in the same restroom as girls. We're making laws now where we'll pay for our military to have sex change operations and for state prisoners, federal prisoners, to have sex change operations. We're making deals with nations that shout death to America, and we think this is right. No wonder judges told us in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But God said twice in Proverbs, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. After all God has done for Israel, after all God has done for America, God says, why have you done this? And their rebellion is their interaction with the Canaanites. Look, second of all, there is the intermarriage. The Bible says in verse 6, they took their daughters to be their wives, and they gave their daughters to their sons. This intermarriage was strictly forbidden by the Lord. They were not to intermarry amongst the sinful peoples around them. They would lose their national identity. They would lose their unique calling, so to speak. The very integrity of their family began to break down. And listen, oh yes, God has told you tonight, saint of God, Christian believer, that you are not to intermarry with those that are sinners. I don't care how handsome you think he is, honey. I don't care how good looking you, hey man, you think that she is. Oh yes, you know, well, she's an atheist, but I'd change her. I tell you, I'll change that boy. I'll get him certain. No, that boy or that girl that you're going to get yoked up with will change you. Israel had that thought, didn't they? Said, well, it'll be all right. We'll just dwell among them and we'll take their daughters for our boys and we'll give our daughters to their boys and we'll become one big happy family. And what we'll do, we're the saints of God, the children of God, will cause them to rise up. But what they didn't realize was it pulled them down. Preacher, can you prove it? Oh, yeah, because the Bible says in the same verse that they begin to serve their God. In fact, I want to go a little further with this thought. You realize tonight that I see churches that are getting married up to a worldview. They're getting married up to practicing sinful lifestyles and saying that they are still a church. I'm telling you, something bad wrong in our nation. There was a 60, I believe, 7 pastors in North and South Carolina that came together. Sounds good. And they called the Islamic leaders in those two states and says, we want to march arm in arm with you that we are brothers. I want to say this tonight. We are not brothers. We do not serve the same God. We serve the true God. They do not serve the God that we serve. We've come through Jesus Christ. He gave His blood that we might be saved. Amen. He forgave our sins. They buried Him. And on the first day of the week, He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He's commanded us to love sinners, but stand against sin. Hey, praise God. He's the lover of my soul and the forgiver of my sin. But we are not united with Islam. And it angers me that we believe that this intermarriage, this marrying up to a worldview
is going to satisfy God. No! It satisfies man. It satisfies the flesh. But it is not the godly thing to do. Then we see their idolatry where they served these other gods. These other gods were Baal and Asherah, Molech, Chemosh. They were engulfed by a pagan culture. What is culture? Well, it is religious beliefs, social standards, ethical standards, moral behavior. We think we can rearrange things and make everything work out. Hear me. That statue of Molech was a molten image that they've now stood up. It's melted and made out of metal. And what they do is they would heat it from the bottom until this image of this demonic-looking god turned completely red. They would take their newborn babies, firstborn of the womb, and would walk up. Here stood Molech. Y'all looking at me? He would be standing like this with his arms out, heated up and burning on fire, and they'd lay their little babies in the arms of this god, saying, "We're giving you our firstborn child that you might give us more children." Hey, I want to tell you what. They were sacrificing their children to false gods. God help. Murdering their youngins. Well, we're doing that with abortion. But you know what else we're doing? We're sacrificing our youngins to the gods of entertainment and the gods of recreation. Let's don't get them to the house of God and tell them about Awana. We'll be faithful or unfaithful in and out, you know, just out of convenience. But, buddy, when it's ball practice, hey, man, we're going to have them at ball practice. If the thunder's clapping and the rain's falling, we'll sit in the car hoping that the mud hole will dry up so we can get our youngins out there with a baseball bat and a ball so we can bat it and hit it or put a football in their hand and chase them along a goal line. Listen, I like football. I like basketball. I like baseball. I like it all. But you see, your pastor, he taught me to love the Lord. One year we was playing ball. We went undefeated. We had a great baseball team. We had a championship game. We'd come to that tournament. Game was on Tuesday night. We was going to win the title, go undefeated, and it come a rain out. They told us we'd come back on Wednesday night and play that ball game. So when he got home from work, we had our duds on, our uniforms. We was ready to go. He said, "Where are you boys going? What are y'all dressed up for?" I said, "We got a championship game tonight, man. We going to the ball game." He said, "No, we going to the house of God." We going where? We going to the house of God. It's in our house. It wasn't up for a vote whether we went to church or not. He said, "We're going. We're going." God said, "The doors is open. We're going." Now be honest. I was aggravated. I changed my uniform and put on my clothes and we went to church. I've always heard that one person can hinder a service. But I tried that theory and it didn't work. Man, a God got in the pulpit and got the, listen, the choir got up and was singing, sanctified, separated, let's let it rip, and I was mad, I crossed my arms, I had the pooch lip, I was mad at him, I was mad at everybody, I was really mad at my daddy, and they're still shouting and singing. I thought, "Lord, this ain't working." Then I got mad when a preacher got up, and he preached and preached and preached and preached, and I come to find out, hey man, that God is greater than all of recreation and all of entertainment, and who, listen, who you're putting first in your life will be your God. Preacher, you're saying that. We got a bunch out tonight playing baseball. Amen. I've seen preachers get in the pulpit on Sunday night, open the blessed book, begin to preach on being faithful to the house of God. What a great message. Come Wednesday night, down at the ball field, coaching third base. Run, Billy, run! Run! We had church service. God was faithful. He was there. But the preacher just took the pulpit on Sunday night, wasn't there Wednesday, because it was priority to be at the ball game. Now we say we don't have idols, but recreation and entertainment and all these things are absolutely killing us. In one generation from Joshua, Israel left serving the true God and abandoned Him to begin to sleep with their enemy. Fourthly, there is the indifference of Israel. Verse 7, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And forgot the Lord their God. You see that? They reached a place where they just ignored God. They just disregarded God. Didn't consider what He had to say about anything. They believed we can just take God out of our lives. We don't want Him in our schools. We don't want Him in our courthouses. We'll just put His Word back here in the closet and nobody will be none the wiser. We're just going to put God back here and we'll be done with Him. I wonder, can God really be done like that? Can you just put Him off in the corner somewhere? Shut Him up in the closet, put Him under the bed, and expect you're going to be all right? I wonder if He might resurface somewhere else. Number two, the retribution. The Bible says, verse 8, therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He was filled with wrath. They had closed their doors to Him. Now God has focused all of His anger against His people. They're about to be punished for their sins against God. I thought we put Him in the closet. I thought we told Him we didn't want to hear from Him anymore. How dare He show up? We're talking about a thrice holy God. America, you better listen. God's anger was turned against His people. And the scripture says He sold them into the hand of Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. He sold His own people. What's that mean? It means to give one up. It means to give one over to someone else's control or someone else's power. In other words, He's taken His hand away from them. Just they said they won't serve pagan gods and they want to do their own thing. So He says, okay, here, go ahead and try it. See how you do on your own. See if old Molech will get you out of this mess. See if old Chemosh and Astaroth and Baal will show up when you get in trouble here. So now God just gave them what they wanted. I want to say that again. God sold them over to the king of Mesopotamia. He just gave them what they wanted. That's all He's done. Now the Bible says that this king's name was Chushan-Rishathaim. And the Bible, clearly as I began to study this, I looked this up. I thought, what does that mean? Cushan, black with iniquity. Rishathaim, doubly wicked. I began to go to some of the history books to find out, who is this Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia? He was considered to be a king of two different terms. How long did Israel bow their knee and serve Him? Somebody tell me. 8 years. That's interesting, don't you think? Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, black with iniquity, doubly wicked. And Israel is now reaping what they've sown. They wanted this lifestyle, now they've got it. God gave them everything they wanted and more. God had told them, hadn't He? Didn't He warn them in chapter 2, verse 3? Didn't He tell them, you'll lose My protection? He said, verse 3 of chapter 2, I will not drive them out from before you. In other words, there'll be military consequences. I've been protecting you, but because of your sin, I'll not protect you anymore. I'll allow the enemy to come in, and the enemy will be a type of judgment. Hear me! The enemy has come in. We can examine the tree and see if there be good fruit or corrupt fruit. We can tell whether a man or a leader is standing for the God of the Bible or for his own false gods. God's protected our nation. But changes are coming. I'm telling you, our newfound alliance with Iran, death to America, death to America, I'm telling you, it's a dangerous deal. Susan Rice, the very national security advisor, said, we should expect that some of the money America has sent to Iran under sanctions relief will go to the Iranian military and could potentially be used for the kinds of bad behavior we've seen in the region. Why would we vote to allow such a deal to be done? Because God's taken his hand off. And we've lost his protection. And here comes the military consequences. He says, they shall be as thorns in your sides. We've lost his provision. What do you mean? Cultural consequences. He will allow economic problems, social problems, moral problems, ethical problems, environmental problems to bring judgment. And I'll tell you something, when I look around at our land, all of these things are come true. It is the judgment of God that's where we are tonight. We're right in it. Thirdly, not only did they lose God's protection, God's provision, but they lost God's power. He said that their God shall be a snare to you. There will be spiritual consequences. You want to be politically correct? You want to be multicultural? We are ripe in our nation to bow to false gods. And just say, we're just loving and we're just appreciating and we're just tolerating. I remind you, there's a time when Israel went into bondage to a place called Babylon under a wicked king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, who built an image of himself to himself. The Bible said that it had to be propped up. And man, he set it up. I don't want to serve a God somebody has to set up. I want to serve a God that's setting me up, amen. I want to serve a God that's lifting me up, a God that's saving me, amen. Here's a God he had to set up. And he said, hey, all of Babylon, this is the way it is. The time you hear the dulcimer and the sackbut and the psaltery, all them other musical instruments, when you hear them jamming to religious songs, you bow down and worship my image. And everybody hit the dirt except three old boys kept standing there. He said, well, maybe y'all didn't hear me. Maybe y'all hard to hear. I said that if you don't bow down to my image, I'm going to heat that furnace up seven times hotter than it's ever been, and whoever won't bow will be thrown in. Did you hear me clearly? I will take away some of your rights. I will take away your tax status. You don't do what I say. I'll levy fines against you if you don't do what I say. I'll arrest you, put you in jail if you don't do what I say. Three Hebrew boys kept standing there and said, God told us we're not to bow to false images. We ought to obey God rather than man. And we're going to stand for our God. He grabbed them, heated that furnace seven times hotter, which stands for the tribulation, I believe, one day. It's prophetical. Took Israel, those three Hebrew boys, and thrown them in there. And waited to see what was going to happen. Watch them boys. They're going to burn up. They're going to cow down. Watch them as they bow down. But my Bible says, oh, Nebuchadnezzar watched. And he said, did we throw in three Hebrew boys bound? Yes, sir, we did. Four. I see four in there. And the fourth one is like the Son of God. Hey, hallelujah. And they fetched that crowd out, amen. Left Jesus. He's still in the fire for those who will stand for him. He'll be there and help you to stand. God just needs, woo! God just needs somebody that's got a backbone to stand for the glory of God. Run over the snake. back up, hit it again, spin your wheels for the glory of God. When them boys was brought out, the things that bound them was burnt off, but you couldn't even smell smoke on them boys. I believe we can smell the presence of the Lord. Woo! Who had come on the scene. I want to tell you something, church. You better decide now. God, give my family a backbone. You ought to be praying for your husbands. You ought to be praying for your wives. You ought to be praying for your children. That will stand for the glory of God, because persecution is a coming. You better get ready. Right here it is in the book of Judges. They lost, hear me, the average church has lost the power of God. They've lost the power to worship, the power to pray, the power to help others. Look with me in verse number 15, chapter 2. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them. I want to tell you something. I don't want the hand of the Lord against me. His hand made creation. His hand hung out on the cross. And amen, as he shed his blood, that I might be saved. And on that first day of the week, that hand come out of that grave. That old body came out of that grave. Hey, it's a hand that hung the sky and hung the galaxies. And it's a hand that saved my soul. I don't want his hand against me. We come to verse 9 of chapter 3. After they served old black with iniquity and doubly wicked for 8 years, then we see the repentance of Israel. Verse 9, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. I believe they felt the full effect of God's retribution, His hand of discipline being against them, and they were sorry for their sin. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Hey, they begin to cry out and seek the face of God over the chastisement they were feeling. I'm telling you, church, our churches are not crying out to the Lord. And if we don't, this thing's just going to continue to get worse. God's looking for a people that'll get on their face and tell God, we've sinned against you. God, we're ashamed. You've given us what we deserve. We're unworthy. We're undeserving, sir. But Lord, you're a forgiving God. You're a loving God. You said, Lord, in your word, if I'd call upon you, if I'd confess my sin, you'd be faithful and just to forgive me of all my sin and to cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. Help me, Lord. That's what God wants. He's looking for a people that's repentant. And where I go from place to place, I see individuals that's not repenting, families that's not repenting, churches that are not repenting, and a nation that's not repenting. We're in trouble. Praise God, this is where it gets good. When this crowd repented, amen, God restored them. He raised up a deliverer. His name was Othniel. Boy, I like that, don't you? You know what God wants to do? Rather than blast our nation with judgment, He wants to bless us. He wants to forgive you more than He wants to whip you. He's a loving God. He's a gracious God. He wants to welcome us with open arms. When we come and say, Lord, we're sorry, He's not going to backhand us. He's going to receive us. He's going to love us. He's going to forgive us. He's going to restore us. Oh, blessed is goodness. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. This Othniel, the Bible tells us a little about him. Earlier in the book of Judges, we met him. Some characteristics of Othniel. He's courageous. Now, God's looking for somebody tonight that's courageous enough to get out of their seat and agree with God and say, oh, God, I just want what you want. Help me to push back the Canaanites in my life. Help me to push back the Canaanites in my family. Help me to push back the Canaanites in my Sunday school class. Help our pastor. Let me get with him. Let me get hooked up with him. Let me amen him while he's preaching. Let me shout amen. Let me encourage him and pray for him. Oh, God, empower the man of God to stand. Let me get hooked up with him. He's a man courageous. You know which tribe he comes from? Judah. Judah is the tribe that's courageous. His name means praise. Hallelujah. This man was courageous enough to praise the Lord in the First Baptist Church when it hair-lipped the devil and upset the quiet people and tore the Pharisees to the land all to pieces. Oh, Oakdale said, "Woo! Bless the name of the Lord. I'll stand for His glory." He's from the line, the lion's tribe, the tribe of Judah. Othniel is a type of Christ. I couldn't believe when I looked up his name what it meant. It means the Lion of God. Woo! He's the type of Christ. Let me tell you what. He was challenged, said to him, "Whoever will drive back the Canaanites in such and such city, I will give the hand of my daughter to be this bride." And old Othniel said, "Glory to God, is that all I got to do? Is push them old Canaanites back? Look how many they are, but my God is bigger. My God can't miss. Let's go to war." And he drove the Canaanites back, and he came back and won the hand of his bride. Kind of reminds me of Jesus. He came to this earth. Woo! Drove back sin, amen, for the hand of his bride. He won her because he loved her and gave his life for her. A man courageous, a man with love so wide that he gave his own life. But death couldn't hold him. Up from the grave. Hallelujah, I like that. You may say, "Preacher, there no Othniel died." Yeah, but you didn't read the name. Listen, think with me. When he died, his spirit went to be with the Lord. He went to the paradise section, and he was waiting on the line of the tribe of Judah to come and escort him home to glory. And one day came. Woo! What a blessing that is. A man courageous. It's what God wants. He also is a man that has a companion. Preacher, I know he won the hand of his bride. No, no, no. The Bible says in verse 10, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. What a companion. Help me, Lord. He experienced the presence of the Lord in his life. I'll never forget the first time I'd been saved. About 12 years old. I was at Hoopers Creek Baptist Church, been serving God 4 years. I was just over 16, going on 17, sitting there minding my business. And I remember old Charlie LaBall was back there playing the guitar. No, Ferris was playing the guitar, and old Charlie was sitting out here. And old Ferris Bedenfield got happy. Quit playing the guitar, began to knock people around, praising the Lord. And old Charlie LaBall come out of there shouting. Now, Charlie LaBall was the quietest dude in the whole place. He come out of his pew, I shouting down the aisle. Like a banshee. I thought what got a hold of him. Like a banshee Indian across this way. I mean, he was cutting one more shine. And I could feel something starting to well up in me, too. And he come where I was. He looked at me and reached out and touched me. And, man, it run off of him right slap dab into me. Now, when you're 16 years old, you ought to be dignified. You ought not to be running around. You ought to be calm. You know, you got to be cool. There's girls around. You got to look like you know what you're doing. But something for the first time run all over me with a power I had never felt in my life. It jumped out of that pew, took off running to the back, came back to the front, back to the back again, going out the door when I stopped and thought, what on earth am I doing? Well, I mean, really, the Holy Ghost had got a hold of me for the first time, and it ruined me. I want it all the time. I want the Spirit of God all the time. I want Him to be in control. I don't want self. I don't want flesh. I don't want the world. I don't want the devil. I don't want anything else. I just want Him. Hey, something about having Him. Hey, some of you, can I get a witness? Has the Holy Ghost fell on you? God, hey, you got a case that can't help it. And you just let it rip for the glory of God. Some of y'all looking at me funny like, man, I've seen it on people, but I ain't never had it. Oh, I'm going to pray for you. That the Holy Ghost will get on your young people. That the Holy Ghost will get on the wives. That the Holy Ghost will get on the husbands. That the Holy Ghost will get on the older crowd. That the Holy Ghost will get on the men of God. That the Holy Ghost will have His way in our lives. Oh, come, Holy Ghost, and have Your way. Boy, if we get the Spirit of God on us, ain't no telling what's going to happen around this place. I'm about pioneer. You better come back tomorrow night. Ain't no telling what's going to happen around this place. Hey, man, don't sell yourself short. He may come down tonight. Hey, glory to God. He had a companion. Do you have a companion? Is your companion in control? Oh, Othniel, when the companion came upon him, became a conqueror. The Bible says that he rose up and he went out to war. And the Lord delivered Chushan, Risha, Thaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against Chushan, Risha, Thaim. Preacher, what on earth am I going to do? How can I prevail? When the Spirit of God gets on you, there ain't nothing else going to matter. Woo! You'll have peace when you ought not to have peace. You'll have joy when you ought not to have joy. Amen. Woo! That's what we need. Not to be hate, not to be worried about old Chushan, Risha, Thaim. We can overcome him. He's a done deal. You know what the number 8 is significant of? Some of y'all, you're going the wrong direction. Come here. The number 8 is the number of new beginnings. Look it up. The number 8 is the number of new beginnings. I wonder if God will give us a new beginning. God made this young man into being a champion. 40 years the land had reprieve. 40 years the land had peace. 40 years they were blessed. Let me quit. I wonder tonight then, are you concerned about where you are spiritually with the Lord tonight? Now I want to remind you of something. Anything you neglect decays. You have things. You neglect your car, it will decay. You never wash that red dress, you just wear it all the time, it's going to smell like sweat. Get old dead flesh cells in it. It's going to begin to decay. We got a ceiling over at the school. The ceiling in there is just an insulated ceiling. And over the course of time, that backing on that insulation is just beginning to get brittle. And it's been neglected a long time. It's beginning to decay. We're going to have to address it. Preacher, where you going? Maybe some of you, you've neglected your faith. You've neglected your walk with the Lord. Yes, you're saved, but anything neglected decays. That's a lot of the reason we sit in our churches and we do absolutely nothing, because we're living in an age of decay. Are you concerned for the nation of Israel? You ought to pray for them. Are you concerned for the United States of America? You ought to pray for them. Are you concerned for the holy nation called the church? Are you concerned about where your family is headed? You've got 3 little youngins. Some of you got 5. You got grandchildren. I met a woman Sunday morning. She said, Preacher Darren, I want you to know I got 32 grandchildren and 32 great-grandchildren. I said, glory to God, sister, you got a whole tribe. Amen? She said, oh, Preacher Darren, I'm so burdened for what's going to happen to all of them. Are you concerned about where your family's headed? Are you concerned about maybe some of your friends who've decided to trail away from the house of God, Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread and praise, and started seeking the things of the world? Do you pray over them? Why don't you come to the Lord then and tell Him about these issues and say, Lord, I want to ask You, God, that You'd use my life in a greater way. God, I don't know what's coming my way, but Lord, I want You to give me a backbone to stand when it does. And it'll start tonight. I'm going to make a genuine decision to pick up my cross that I've neglected, put it back on my shoulder, and begin to carry it and follow Jesus. Let me tell you something as you carry a cross. When you make that decision to begin to follow the Lord, it's a one-way decision. His way. When you get yourself nailed, hey, when He nails you up there on that old cross, there's no going backwards. You're facing forwards. And the truth is, that's the last conscious decision you made for you. The rest is for Him. We are a nation in disobedience. I believe Israel tonight could be said of them that there's disobedience. That's what's happened to them. Why they got in Holocaust and things like that. disobedience. They said when they crucified Jesus, His blood be upon us and all our children, all our generation. And it has been. Yes, sir. What about our nation? Are we in disobedience to the Word of God? Hey, what about our churches, the holy nation? Wonder not. You loop us all together, hook us up. By large and in part, are we obedient? Are we disobedient? Pastor, I wonder tonight, is half your church members here? More than half not here? See? Fletcher First Baptist, you're in disobedience. What about me? I'm here. Yeah, but see, here's the thing. When the rain falls, it falls on the just and the unjust. And when judgment comes, it comes on the just and the unjust when it falls on the nation. Boy, you ought to get out and tell somebody. We're having revival down there at Fletcher. We need to get in the house of God. God, I believe God's going to do something. I think some things are going to change. I think God's going to save people. I think God's going to reclaim people. I think God's going to turn some things around. Oh, preacher, you're wasting your time. Then you just stay in your seat. Go back to the house and leave your old fears there. Because I believe God wants to do something. I believe Him with all my heart. You stand to your feet tonight. I wonder, would they be some brother, some sister, some daddy, some mama, maybe a young person. You'd come with me. I'm going to pray. Get in this old-fashioned altar and say, God, I'm praying for your people, Israel. God, I'm praying for your people, the church. God, I'm praying for our nation, the good old U.S. of A. God, I'm praying for our family. All my family's not in church. All my friends are not in church. Oh, God, help us. Stir us, Lord. Wake us up. I want to see them in the house of God. Would you come and agree with me? Get this old-fashioned altar and say, God, I just want you to have your way. Forgive us of our disobedience. Raise us up an Othniel. Raise us up a man of courage. Raise us up a lion. God, I pray you'd help some of these people in this old-fashioned altar, Lord. You'd bless them. Raise them up, God, to be lion-like, to stand for the glory of God. Father, I ask tonight, Lord, you'd forgive us, Father, where we failed you and failed you so miserably. Lord, I'm afraid we're servants of self-interest. We're servants tonight, God, that only seeks you out of convenience. Forgive us of that, Lord. God, we heard the man of God speak wisdom last night to us. He said, God, give us a burden. Lord, that's the truth. In our churches now, we're praying, oh, God, take the burden away. Take the burden away. I started considering that last night. Oh, when Peter and John had been arrested and had been thrown in jail, and when they were released and they were commanded not to teach or preach in the name of Jesus, they began to preach the Word of God. And once again, as they were attacked, they never said, Lord, take away the bondage, take away the burden. They just probably prayed, God, give us a backbone. Lord, I pray, God, you'd wake us up. God, you'd help us, Lord. There are burdens that we must bear, but there are burdens that we are to share. Help our brothers and sisters, Lord, to get out of this burden, Father, for our country, for Israel, for the future, for what's going on. Lord, it can't be long before Jesus comes. Oh, what a blessing. He may come tonight. I hope we're ready. I hope we're prepared. I want our friends to go to heaven. I want our enemies to go to heaven. Lord, I pray the only one, God, that has to go to hell and be reserved in the lake of fire is the devil himself. God, I pray you'd save. I pray you'd redeem. I pray you'd restore. I pray you'd turn. You said if we'd call on you. You said if we'd seek your face. You said, Father, if we'd humble ourselves. You said if we'd pray. You said if we'd repent. God, that you would hear. You would heal. You would help us. You'd forgive us. God, we're called on your word. You're a God that's faithful. You're a God that's as good as your word. God, I pray you stir us up. Put us in as a desire. Create within us a desire for the things of God once more. Lord, I pray you'd excite us, Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Move upon us by the precious Holy Spirit, Lord. I ask these blessings. Oh, in Jesus' name, deliver us, Lord, I pray. Woo! Oh, thank God for no fill. Thank you, Lord. Oh, bless His good name. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. Thank you, God, for answering in accordance to Thy word and Thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.